In the name of Jesus, amen. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is our promise, this is our hope. This is a certainty of God's word. We've been hearing about the end of the world and our Lord's return these past couple of weekends, and this weekend that continues. The return of our Lord, the end of the world, is one of the clearest teachings of Scripture. Clear is kind. The return of our Lord, the end of the world, is not an obscure teaching. It's not hard to find. It's found throughout the New Testament. And God wants us to know what's going to happen. He wants us to be ready for what's going to happen. He wants us to not be surprised. And so he tells us, clear is kind. But today's gospel reading is not like the last two weekends. It doesn't seem to fit with the end of the world. Rather, we hear about Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday. How does that fit with the end of the world? May the Lord bless the speaking hearing of his word this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.'" Jesus is on his way to be crucified. The women who are following are mourning and grieving. And Jesus says, essentially, "Don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves." Things are bad, yes, but they're going to get worse. And indeed they did. Within a few decades of Jesus speaking these words, Jerusalem was destroyed, and it was horrible. Jerusalem is a walled city, and the Romans simply set up their armies around the city. And they kept all the food out. They starved out the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that after a while, all they had to do was simply walk in. Didn't even have to fight, because the people were either dead from starvation or so weak. And those people who went through that would have been very grieved that their children had to experience that. And so when Jesus speaks these words, he's telling these people, yes, it's bad, but it's going to get worse. Luke's gospel goes on. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus had foretold this. He had foretold his betrayal. He had foretold his suffering. He had foretold his death. And now it's happening. And in the midst of its happening, he prays forgiveness for those who were doing it to him. Two men were crucified with Jesus, and they were indeed criminals, and they were crucified on either side of Jesus, and they were receiving the punishment they deserved. Crucifixion was reserved for the worst of the worst. So we know these men being crucified, they were not petty thieves, they were not men who got caught cheating on their taxes. These were horrible men who had done horrible things to other people. And one of the men says that they were receiving the due reward of their deeds. In other words, yep, we're getting what we deserved. Crucifixion was not only physically torture, but it was also intended to be humiliating. It was a public shaming, a public humiliation. And these men experienced that. But one of those men in the midst of that, in the midst of his realizing this is bad, but it's going to get worse, one of those men looks to Jesus. And he says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Does Jesus look like a king at this point? No. He is a battered, bloody man who will soon die. In fact, Jesus will die before the two criminals die. And yet this man looks at Jesus and says, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom." That tells us two things about that criminal. Number one, he believed in Jesus and believed that he was a king. And secondly, he believed in the resurrection. He believed that even though things were bad, they were going to be worse, yet he had hope because of Christ. And then what does he hear Jesus say to him? He hears his Savior say, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Whenever Luke uses the word today, it means today. It means this day. And so Jesus is telling this criminal, "This day, today you will be with me in paradise." Heaven is not earned. Heaven is not deserved. Heaven is given. It is a gift. And it is given in a way which the eyes cannot see. And notice this promise that Jesus gives the criminal doesn't stop his suffering. It doesn't stop his dying. But in Christ, he has found forgiveness and mercy, and he has an answer in the midst of his, "It's bad, it's going to get worse." He has a hope and there is a promise. Which takes us back to how all this fits in with the end of the world and the return of Jesus. The Word of God's clear that before our Lord comes again, things will get worse. Things are bad, but they're going to get worse. Now you can say, "Oh, Pastor, that sounds so negative." I'm just telling you what God's Word says. And God's Word always comes true 100% of the time. Things are bad, they're going to get worse. That's what God's Word tells us. And that's how it's going to go before the end of the world. That is not meant to frighten us or to ramp up our anxiety. It's simply telling us, this is how it's going to go. Don't be surprised by that. But in the midst of this is bad, it's going to get worse, what do we hear? That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. So we need not fear the end of the world. We need not fear our own end. Because even though things are bad and they're going to get worse, that's not the end of the story. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. And I'm here to announce to you his kingship. To remind you that he has claimed you as his own. He comes to you in your baptism and names you and says, "You belong to me. You are my child. You are part of my kingdom that never ends." His kingdom is not of this world. It is in the world yet to come. And he makes you a part of that because of his word and promises. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he has done for you. Faith in Jesus and his promises is not based on our performance. It's based on the performance of Jesus Christ. Praise be to his holy name. And he continues to feed us with that word and promises through our ears as we hear it, through our mouths as we receive his Holy Supper, that you would know he remembers you, that you have a place in his kingdom, so that when you find yourself, this is bad and it's going to get worse, you would know that's not the end of the story. There is a hope and there is a promise in Christ. Because those days are coming. And some of you even might find yourself in the midst of them even now. And it could be for, who knows, all kinds of reasons, you know, financial, family problems, health challenges, maybe even just the events of aging. Thinking to yourself, "Yeah, this is not good, this is bad, but, you know, it's just probably going to get worse." Fear not, Jesus is King, and he shows you how things end. There is a hope and a promise for the people of God, because Jesus makes it so through his death and resurrection. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Praise be to Jesus' holy name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.